And you may be seated, and thank you again for being with us this morning. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is truth. But in contrast to that, the devil is a liar. He is. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you winning the war against Satan's strategies? You know, the devil is not some kind of mythological creature that we envision in our minds wearing the red suit and carrying the pitchfork and with a long tail. But the devil is very real. He is a combatant, if you will. He is the antagonist against Almighty God. When the Apostle Paul wrote concerning the demonic spirits of the world and the devil, he said, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, he said, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. Did you know that no one knows more about Satan than God himself? And it is revealed for us time and time again in the Bible. If you don't believe this morning that the devil is real, you better listen up. For the next 30 minutes, I'm going to share with you what the Bible actually says about the devil. There are many people that do not believe in the devil. I heard a story one time of a wonderful lady. She was a wonderful Christian lady. She had very little money, lived in a rundown house, but she was always praising the Lord. Everywhere she went, she was praising God. But her only problem was with the old man who lived next door. He was always trying to prove to her that there is no God. One day, as the old man was walking by her house, he noticed the woman through an open window. She was kneeling down in prayer, and so he crept over to the window to see what he could hear. She was praying, Lord, you've always given me what I needed. And she prayed, and now you know that I don't have any money, and I'm completely out of food, and I won't get another check for a week. She continued, somehow, Lord, can you give me groceries? The man had heard all he needed to hear. He crept away from the window and ran down to the grocery store. He bought milk and bread and lunch meat. He ran back to the woman's house carrying the groceries. He set the bag down by her door, rang the doorbell, and then hid beside the house. You can imagine how the woman reacted to seeing that big bag of groceries sitting on her front porch. She threw up her hands over her head and began praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, she shouted. I was without food, and you provided for me, Lord, once again. And about that time, the old man jumped out and said, I've got you now, old lady. He said she was too busy shouting thank you to Jesus and not really paying any attention to him at all. I told you that there was no God, the old man said. He said it wasn't Jesus who gave you those groceries, it was me. Oh no, the woman said. Jesus got me these groceries and he made the devil pay for them. You know what? I'm persuaded that God has a way of delivering for you and me. Now, when the devil hinders us and when he thwarts our plans, I'll tell you, God always provides. He does. You see, Satan's big lie, his big lie is that sin will make you happy and that there are no consequences to your wrongdoing. But that, my friend, is wrong. Satan has many diabolical schemes to defeat you, but what are the traps of Satan? If Paul says that Satan hinders us, and I'm going to tell you something, if you are not being hindered by Satan, you probably are going in the same direction with Satan. If you haven't confronted the devil this last week, chances are you're going down the same path. How many of you have ever heard of the fact that the devil has a workshop? You ever heard that? People say sometimes that the devil does have a workshop, that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Well, maybe that's true, but I know one thing, that the devil does have a workshop, and he is endeavoring every way possible to bring us from God. He is, and he hinders us. And I want to share with you this morning some ways that I really believe that the devil hinders us. Number one, he hinders us by diversions. When God gets your attention, the devil is trying to get your attention also. He is pleading his cause with you. But he is trying his best to draw you away from God and divert your attention from things that are spiritual in the Word of God. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, he says, for we must not be ignorant of his devices. Let me ask you this morning, are you aware of the devil's devices to hinder you? Are you really aware of them? Let me make you aware of some of them this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said that the God of this world, and you'll notice that the word God is little g. We're not talking about Jehovah God. But we're talking about the God of this world. That is the devil. And he said that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, we have a lot of people today that are really concerned about ISIS invading Iraq. We have a lot of people that are concerned about the Taliban and Al-Qaeda over in Afghanistan. You know what really troubles me more than that is the invasion of demonic spirits into the life of those who claim to be children of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and following, John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, he said, and these are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In James 4, in verse 4, James says, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is an enemy with God. You see, the devil tries to get you to be a part of the world where you'll be an enemy against God. He is trying to divert your attention away from God. He does, number one. He diverts us. Why, if he can keep you from thinking about God, you're not going to be serving God. He diverts our attention away from Jesus. The moment we start thinking about Christ and about our Savior and our Lord, the devil is trying to draw it out of our mind to get you to start thinking on something of this world materialistically. And if he cannot divert your attention away from God and away from Christ, he tries to divert your attention away from the church of the living God. You know why people are not faithful to the church? Very simple. The devil is drawing you away from the church. For you see, if your mind is on the church, you don't let the devil draw it away. You're aware of his devices. You will no longer allow him to hinder you and make you think that the church is unimportant. There are a lot of people today that say, well, I can take the church or leave it. You know where that came from? It didn't come from Christ. It didn't come from God, and it didn't come from this word. If the church was precious enough for Jesus to shed his blood for it, I can tell you that the church is highly important. But the devil will divert your attention away from the church. He tries to divert your mind and hinder you from really understanding what morality is all about. We have a world today, and Sam prayed about it a moment ago, Sam, and I appreciate it, because we have a world today that is engulfed in things that are immoral, things that are ungodly, things are almost unbelievable going on in our world. Even among Christians. You see, Christians have this word in their mind. a lot of times, but they don't have it in their heart. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." But the devil will snatch it out of your mind. He will tear it out of your hearts. He diverts our attention away from heaven. He gets us to think only about this world. He gets us to believe that the only real happiness in life is what is produced by those in this life. I'm going to tell you, it is beyond this life, and it is beyond that world, the great joy and the happiness that belongs to those who are children of God. Yes, Satan has devices. Don't get distracted. You see, God's choice should be our choice. And again, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." You know what? As a Christian and as a preacher of the gospel, I would rather be hated for speaking the truth than hailed for trying to redefine it. We got some folks in the world today. We got a lot of preachers that are standing in pulpits who are not accepting the Bible, but they're trying to rewrite it. They're trying to redefine it. Let the word speak for itself. And Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. Yes, Satan diverts us. He hinders us. He does. He tries to limit your prayers because he knows that your prayers will limit him. But there's a second way that Satan actually hinders us. He hinders us through delusions. How many of you have ever in your mind been deluded into believing certain things were all right when you later learned that certain things that you believed to be right were actually wrong? God says, don't be deceived. Satan has all kinds of illusions and delusions, if you will, to confuse and cloud your mind. In Matthew 7 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing," he says, "but inwardly they are ravening wolves." How do you know the difference? Here's the way you know the difference, whether a person is a ravening wolf. If he is not teaching the Word of God, and he is not preaching the Bible, and if he begins to preach his own opinions, you can rest assured that he is not of God. And John said in 1 John 4 and verse 1, to try the spirits, whether of God. Listen to what Matthew 7 and verse 15 again says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." Luke 8 and verse 12 also says, "Those by the wayside," as he talks about the parable of the seed and the vineyard. He referred to those who had the word of God. They heard it. But the devil came and took away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Again, 1 John 4 and verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit." There are people today who are swept away by all kinds of erroneous doctrines. They are swept away by charmers. They are swept away by great orators. They are swept away by personalities. You know what? We ought to be swept away by the Word of God to the point that we believe it and accept it in every way. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into this world. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10 and following, Paul writes, "And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now I want you to notice what I'm going to say here. He said, "And for this cause shall God send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." God allows you to believe what you will believe. And when the Bible says he sends you a strong delusion, he allows you to believe a delusion from hell. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 and 15. The Bible says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves, he says, into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I have learned that even Satan disguises himself. He does. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He's not going to scare you. He's not going to turn you off if he is an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now listen to it. For the devil doesn't come to you, as I said, in a red suit, but he comes to you in every form and fashion that you ever wish for in your life. He diverts you, but he deludes you. And then thirdly, the devil hinders you by causing doubt. He wants us to be unsure of our faith, and so he endeavors to create doubt. Do you realize this morning that you are either a person of faith or you are a person of doubt? You are one of the other. It is true. And let me ask you the question this morning. Which are you? Are you a person of faith? Are you really? Or are you a person of doubt? Based upon Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, and he that doubteth is damned. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see, doubt sees obstacles every day. God wants us to walk by faith. But many of us only see obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars high. Doubt questions who believes, and faith answers, it is I. In the book of John 20, verse 30 and 31, to confirm the words of Christ and help us understand more fully that Jesus really was the Son of God and that he is the Savior of the world, John writes these words, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through his name. You see, when we get going and we start moving for God, Satan has a lot of stop signs. He does. And he throws stop signs up all the time. He tries to hinder us. He does everything in the world he can to get us off the straight and narrow path and get us back on that broad way that leads to destruction. And we must say no to the doubts of Satan. We learn in a lot of ways. The past, someone said, is where you learn the lessons. The future is where you apply the lessons. And don't give up in the middle. Let God break your chain of doubts in this life. I have come to be assured every day that God will not give you more than your faith can handle. Sometimes people talk about all the struggles that they face, and I'm going to tell you something, they're common to all of us. They may come in different forms and in different fashions, but I can tell you that God will not give you more than your faith can handle. Paul said he'll not put upon you any more than you are able to bear. And with those trials and difficulties in your life, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Again, John 8 and 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, he creates doubt in the hearts of anyone he can. But then last of all, he does his best to delay us. You see, if the devil can get you to put your life on hold, then he has accomplished his will. Many don't know which direction they want to walk. But many are jumping off into a devil's hell every day because of their delay to become a Christian. Let me ask you a question this morning. Why do you wait? Why do you wait? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. And in the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and following, the Bible says, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what those are? They're just excuses. And the devil hinders us. And he gets us to believe that our excuses are justifiable. Have you ever heard of pathological liars? Let me tell you who a pathological liar is. A pathological liar is one who tells lies and eventually he begins to believe his lies. He begins to believe that what he said, when he knows it is untrue, he begins to believe that it is right. Another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell. Jesus said unto him, no man who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God must rise higher than that in our mind. One of the great stories in the life of the Apostle Paul is a story about his conversation that takes place between a man who was a governor of Judea. His name is Felix. And the Bible says that Paul began to share with him the word of God. Let me give you the account in the book of Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. The word says, and as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. And he answered, go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Do you know I've had very few times in my life, honestly, where I have ever shared the word of God with someone. And they made similar statements, like I'm not making any promises, but I'll digest all this, I'll think about it, and when it's really convenient, I'll call you. Rare does it ever happen. We don't know that it ever happened with this man, Felix. We have no evidence in the Bible that Felix ever had a convenient moment where he finally decided, hey, I'm going to call Paul back up and I'm going to deal with my life spiritually. I'm going to get right with God. But the devil hindered him. The devil deluded him. The devil diverted his attention. He got him to doubt. And now, if he doesn't get you with diversion, and he doesn't get you with delusion, and he doesn't get you with doubt, he will get you with delay. If he can get you to postpone what you ought to do, well, he's accomplished his objective, hasn't he? He certainly accomplished it with Felix. And he said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You see, Satan's target is your mind. His weapons are his lies. And the only defense that you have is this book right here, the Word of God. That's why the book of James chapter 4 and verse 7 makes this statement. He says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now listen to what he said. Resist. Resist. That's not easy to do at times, is it? To resist the devil. It's easier to give in to the devil than it is to resist him. Satan may be powerful, but God is greater, for he is the Almighty. John writes, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. But you know what happens to us? Pride gets in the way. I've got a lot of folks today that know they ought to be Christians. A lot of folks that know they need to be right with God. Most folks do. I think there is that indwelling feeling that says there's a higher power. People deny it. But I think most of us have that feeling within our hearts when we know we're not right with God. Because pride gets in the way and we're not ready to get out of the chair of pride. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 tells us what happens to those who do not obey the gospel. Do you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You will either follow Jesus into life eternal, or you will follow him into an eternal hell from which you will never, ever recover. That's not a popular message. It's not something that I desire to preach. I'd much rather get up here and tell you that all you are going to heaven and the world is all going to heaven. God loves all of you and we're wonderful and we're sweet things in the eyes of Jehovah God. But what I'm telling you is that that is not right. And that you and I may be loved of God, but his love does not overlook our sinful nature and our sin. In 1858, there was a man named John Gray. He was buried in Old Greyfriars Churchyard in Edinburgh, Scotland. His grave was leveled by the hand of time and unmarked by any stone. Became scarcely discernible, actually. But although no human interest seemed to be attached to it, that sacred spot was not wholly disregarded and forgotten. For 14 years, the dead man's faithful dog kept constant watch over the grave until his own death in 1872. James Brown, the old curator of the burial ground, remembers Gray's funeral and a dog, a Skye Terrier named Bobby. He said Bobby was one of the most conspicuous of those who mourned. The grave was closed in as usual, and the next morning, Bobby, his dog, was found lying on the newly made mound. This was an innovation which old James could not permit. For there was an order at the gate stating that in most intelligible characters that dogs were not admitted. Bobby was accordingly driven out. But the next morning he was found atop of that grave. And for a second time he was discharged. The third morning was cold and wet. And when the old man saw the faithful animal, in spite of all his chastisement, still lying shivering on the grave, he took pity on him and gave him food. In recognition of his devotion, Bobby, the right to make the churchyard his home. And from that time until his own death, he never spent a night away from his master's tomb. Often in bad weather, attempts were made to keep him within doors, but by his dismal howls, he succeeded in making known that his interference was not agreeable with him and was always allowed to have his way. At almost any time during the day, he could be seen in and about the churchyard. And no matter how rough the night, nothing could induce him to forsake that hallowed spot whose identity he so faithfully preserved. The story of the life of Greyfriars Bobby, a life that was later commemorated by the erection of a statue. The figure which was unveiled without any ceremony or fanfare on November the 15th in the year 1873. Would to God that people could be so thrilled and so moved about their love for our Master who died 2,000 years ago. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God calling you? Is he calling you? In your heart of hearts this morning, is God calling you? Don't wait until later. But follow him now. Satan may be hindering you right now from doing what you need to do, but now is your time. Tomorrow may be too late. It often is for a lot of folks. God calls on each of us to obey Him by being baptized for the remission of our sins. Jesus taught it in Mark 16 and also in Matthew 28 to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. And then Ananias asked Saul of Tarsus that question that has often been asked in services just like this one, and rightfully so. And Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins." Don't let the devil snatch his word out of your heart this morning. You will be the loser if he does. Your only hope is accepting Christ and becoming a Christian. And if you've erred from God's way and Satan has hindered you from really being the Christian that you know and you really want to be, Satan has hindered you. If you look back upon your life, you probably know that it might be by diversion. It may be by doubts. It may be by delusion. Or even right now, he's trying to delay you from getting right with him. But will you answer his call this morning while we stand and while we sing?